Well, welcome back to the modern day. That little radio skit, if you get it, is designed to show you how often people make the misconception and get confused in thinking that they could earn their way into heaven or buy their way into heaven. Well, this morning, I want to tell you that the misconceptions associated with heaven are really misconceptions associated with Christmas. And so this morning, I want to share with you a Christmas message that I have entitled, The Gift. The Gift. You see, there are multiple facets with this gift, and I'm going to walk you through a short series of looks into this gift. And I want to start by talking about the problem associated with the gift. You say, the problem? What's the problem? Well, the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that there is a problem that all of us have. That problem is this: that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You see, we all have the problem of needing the gift. We all have the same problem that we need to receive the gift of God. Now, in Acts 8, we see an encounter with a young man or a gentleman named Simon. And there's another facet to this problem, and that is this: that the gift must be received. It is a free gift to be received, and you cannot get it any other way. You see, this fellow Simon saw the disciples, saw them sharing the love of Christ, and saw God moving through the power of His Holy Spirit. And Simon said, "Hey, fellas, I like that. How much is it? I'll buy it." There's a problem when we think that we can buy the gift of God. Stated in a broader sense, there's a problem when we think that we can earn the gift of God. And it's not always so overtly obvious where it's somebody that just walks up and says, "Well, I don't really like all you Christians, and I don't believe what you believe, but I'll buy it." This holds over for those that want to put on Jesus on the outside, want to have that religion on the outside, but leave the inside unchanged. It's where religion supersedes relationship with Christ. I think of it in terms of our holiday when we talk about Christmas. You see, there's a big sway right now going on. The political correctness of the world says, "Happy holidays." Now, it's Christmas. And even so, those that mean Merry Christmas will now say Happy Holidays. Why? Because the Christ of Christmas is missing. Now, I would say to you, as you look at somebody like Simon in the Bible or others when we talk about this problem, it's the difference between focusing on the ornaments that we tend to put on and take off, rearrange, and just, we get them just the way we like them. When we focus on the ornaments, there's a problem. The answer is to focus on the gift. The gift. Each and every one of us needs to focus on the gift. And as you'll see this morning, the gift has so much to offer and is so beautiful in so many different ways. But the reality is, whether we call it political correctness or if we just tend to focus on the things that we want and we focus on the outside, when our focus is drawn to the ornaments, there's a problem. And I will tell you this, that the Christ of Christmas mourns when we focus on the ornaments. And His archenemy, your archenemy, the devil, sits back in his easy chair and says, "Way to go." I think if you let your imagination go just a little, you might see just how true this is in this following clip. Take a look at this.
Thank you for having us today. You have a lovely home.
Oh, thank you, Janet.
I do admit, I was expecting something a little more drab and dreary.
Oh.
Fire, darkness.
I can take you down to my basement if you like.
Oh, that won't be necessary.
Are you sure? It's a real hellhole down there.
Pass.
I'm teasing you, Janet. I'm teasing you.
It's Christmas.
Yes, it is. It is Christmas.
How does that make you feel?
Oh, great. I love the holidays.
You love the holidays?
Sure, I love the holidays. All the feasting, are you kidding? And all the parties and the gorging and the presents and the insane, out of control spending. Speaking of which, you might want to crank it up a notch or two yourself.
I'm sorry, what's that?
Just a little heads up. You're going to be getting some pretty expensive gifts this season. Are you sure that you're spending enough on others? I mean, you don't want them to be disappointed, do you? I don't know. I mean, it's like, do you want to be... or I don't know. It's just, you might want to worry about it a little, that's all. But no, all the hustle and the bustle of the holidays, I think it's a fantastic opportunity to completely ignore anything of any real significance or meaning having to do with the holidays. But no, I do feel terrible about all those people who don't have families, you know. Yeah, people who maybe come from broken families or abusive families, you know, and have to be constantly reminded of this fact every holiday season, right? But what can you do? That's life, right? Yeah.
What about the other guy who gets all the attention this time of year?
Santa Claus.
Oh. That's a good one.
Yeah.
No, actually, I was talking about Jesus.
I know. Yeah, you're talking about the reason for the season.
Yes.
The man with the plan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, frankly, Janet, I've always believed that actions speak louder than words. They always have.
And what do you mean by that?
What do I mean by that? Well, look around you. You know, you got all these people running around, distracted, stressed out, like chickens with their heads cut off, standing in line, fighting for that it gift of the holiday season, right? Suicide rates aren't the only things up in December. Sorry, but it's true. Homicide rates, they're through the roof. Heart rates are up. People are fed up. I mean, it's up, 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 up across the board. You know, they can talk about him all they want. I know what's in their hearts, and I love it.
So, but about the people, not everyone's like that. 50% of all charitable donations occur between Thanksgiving and New Year's. Thousands of people volunteer.
Guilt.
Excuse me?
Guilt. People feel guilty during the holidays, so they give. I have no problem with that.
But some of it has to make you feel bad just a little bit.
No, it doesn't.
I know this family down the street.
Yeah.
They every year for Christmas, they throw this big celebration and have people donate gifts and anyways, so they bus in people from all over town for this wonderful party on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And,
Janet, excuse me, is there a question bundled in here somewhere?
Oh, yes. the question is, what about those people? What about what they do?
Who cares? They are one family. So what?
But there are others. There are others that spend their time and their money to spread joy, to share the love of Christ.
Now look, just because he who I will not name has a few people in his corner who actually get it, right? I've got millions. Nay, I have billions, billions, billions of people who don't have a clue. Sorry.
Before we go, was there anything else that you'd like to say?
Yes, I would. Thank you for the opportunity. Happy holidays. I sincerely hope from the bottom of my heart that you get everything you so richly deserve this holiday season. So, Merry Christmas and see you soon.
Well, I've got to tell you, I was expecting more of an animated response from all of you, and I'm not quite sure how to read that. But I think that that video tells an awful lot of truth. An awful lot of truth. Did you get it at the end where he said, and I truly, truly hope that you get everything that you so richly deserve. You see, to understand the truth of Christmas, to understand the fullness of the gift of Christmas, is to understand that in part, we have the gift so that we don't get what we deserve. You see, there's a second part to the gift, and that is to understand the person and the provider of the gift. And in God's Word, perhaps the most famous verse in all the Bible, John 3:16, we're told that for God so loved the world that He gave the gift of His Son, that whosoever, what a beautiful word, believes in Him will not perish but will have eternal life. You see, the devil would like nothing more than for us to focus on all the ornaments. Oh, boy, would you look at that. Is that beautiful? Oh, you know what? I need to get some more. I need a more expensive this. I need a more elaborate that. Isn't it great? You know what? You might want to think twice about what you're giving because you're going to get a lot. There really needs to be some guilt here. There needs to be some pressure. There needs to be some worry. When we focus on both the person, Jesus, is the gift, and the provider, God the Father, who gave us His Son, that we would have this grace. Everything changes. Everything changes when Christmas is about Christ and we understand and appreciate the person and the provider of the gift. There's another piece, and that is to understand the power of the gift. What power are you talking about, Pastor Jeff? You see, the Bible tells us that the gift is also called the Holy Spirit. There are three words that the Bible uses in the original language to focus on this context of gift. We talked before when we looked at the word love, and we said our language uses one word, love. Love for brotherly love. Love for intimate love. Love for the love of God. And we looked at the various ways that the Bible uses those words. I want you to know that the word gift is also the same. We have a Greek word, douron, which focuses on the free and the gratuitous side of the gift. We have doura, which talks about the person of the Holy Spirit as the gift. We have another word, charisma, which we all recognize, and it's from where the charismatic movement of the church gets its roots. And there we see the utility of the gift, the expression of the gift. Well, I want you to know that in Acts, we see the talk of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter talks about this in Acts 11, and he says that the same gift that was given to us by the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, has been given to them. And he's talking about the Gentiles. And here we see the power of the gift being the Holy Spirit. And at the same time, we see that there is zero prejudice in the giving of the gifts. One of the things that was very real in their time is that the Jews were very prejudiced against the Gentiles, the anybody other than a Jew. And one of the truths of God's Word is that when you understand the power of the gift, that there is no prejudice. You see, God looks down from above and He doesn't see fat, skinny, rich, poor, black, white, American, Russian. He sees souls. And to understand the power and the lack of prejudice in the gift is to take on that same perspective, that we need to see people as souls, everyone exactly the same, rich, poor, black, white, fat, skinny, tall, short, close to home or on the other side of the world, to understand the power of the gift of Christmas is to be in awe of God. How about the purpose of the gift? To understand the purpose of the gift, in 1 Peter 4:10, again, we see Peter telling us that we have each been given this gift to serve. We have just recently finished our series called The Meaning of Life, in which I shared with all of you God's big idea, the big plan, which is to perpetuate this gift. You see, it's to understand that Jesus is the gift, that the Holy Spirit is the gift, that God the Father is the giver of this gift, and that we are all here to bring glory to God and to perpetuate the giving of this gift. Our purpose. Why do you get this? Why are we given the gift of Jesus Christ? Not so that we can sit back on Christmas morning and just, you know, eat all the goodies and play the games in front of the TV and just bask in this. Wow, look what I got. Woohoo! We've been given the gift as stewards of grace. Peter goes on to say that we'll be measured as managers of God's grace. We've been given the gift to serve others, to perpetuate it, and to be God's stewards, to understand Christmas is to get our eyes off of the ornaments, to get our focus on the gift, and to get busy in distributing the gift. He goes on to tell us further in the Word that there is a peace associated with this gift. In Romans 11, the word that Paul uses is irrevocable. To understand that when you are given God's gift, once He gives you this gift and you accept it, there is a very real peace that becomes yours, because you can know that you know that you know that no one can take it away. God's gifts and His calling, God's words, not mine, are irrevocable. Once you have them, nobody can take them away. Now, in church circles, sometimes you hear this called once saved, always saved. That's an aspect of it. I'm here to tell you that if you give your heart to Jesus Christ, and you really give your heart to Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about mouthing a prayer, saying what some preacher told you to say. I'm telling you that if you have a personal saving relationship with Jesus Christ, if in your heart of hearts you've come to Him and said, "It's not my way, I'm yours. I give over my personhood to you. I not only believe in my head, but I trust in my heart. Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior." I want you to know that you don't get to hang on to Him in the power of your grip, trying to hang on to God. The Bible says that you sit in His hands and you are protected and saved forever because you are held in the power of His grip. And no one will break that. Are you starting to see that when we think about Christmas and we think about the fullness of the gift, that we have a lot to be happy about? You realize that in the season, as we saw in the devil's little clip there, where people are stressed out and things are going crazy, we're supposed to be the happy ones. We have everything as children of God to celebrate. Everything. And nobody can take it away. That is part of our gift. But there's more. You see, it's to understand who we are as the people of the gift. Now, I'm here to tell you, a lot of folks around the world point at that gift of Jesus and say, "Yeah, I've got that gift." I shared with you last week a very difficult truth, and that is that not everybody who says that they are people of the gift have actually received the gift. There's an awful lot of religion in the world that is lacking relationship. And that it's only those who have truly accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior who have the residency in the body of Christ to say, "I am a person of the gift." Now, for those of us who embrace that calling, who say, "Yes, that is my identity. I am a child of God. Jesus is my personal Lord and Savior." Acts 1:8 is your verse. It's my verse. It's the foundation verse, by the way, for the bridge. It is the verse upon which the bridge was born. Acts 1:8 says this: "When the Holy Spirit comes on you," a.k.a. when you receive the gift, "when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will receive power, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem," which is local, "in Judea and Samaria," which is your region, "and to the ends of the earth," which is a global call. The people of the gift have a calling. Jesus Himself said, "You will, A, receive the power that comes with receiving this gift of the Holy Spirit. And two, you're to use that power. You're to use that power to distribute the gifts. You're to take what you've been given and you're to share it." You see, Acts 1:8 not only tells us about the people of the gift, but it also points to the plan of the gift. "But you will receive power, and you will be my witnesses," locally, regionally, and around the world. Well, you can see this plan of the gift extended further in Matthew 28. We call it the Great Commission in the world of the church. The plan of the gift is to go, therefore, and make disciples. Making disciples means that you go, you engage people where they are. You don't say, hey, by the way, if you want to show up, we'll let you in. That's religion. That's church. I told you at the beginning, we're different on purpose. Not just to be different, but because I believe that the standard status quo in religious circles has fallen back to a default position that says, if you're willing to show up, we'll let you in. The plan of the gift is that we go bring the gift. Go, therefore, and make disciples. That means you don't do a UPS drop. That means you go, you bring the gift, and you camp. You camp out. And you say, how can I help? How can I help? This is not a flyby. You didn't just get a drive-by shooting here where we're firing Jesus bullets into the building. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Go, bring the love of Christ and camp out. Say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go ahead and plant myself right here. I'm going to drop down some roots if that's what it takes. I'm here for you. One of the reasons why we do the community groups, the grow groups that you heard about this morning, is so that you can look across a table, you can look across a living room and see somebody who has told you either expressly or indirectly, I'm here for you. You're not alone. That's a part of the plan of the gift. To go, therefore, and make disciples, sharing the gift. I want you to know, we think about Christmas, we tend to think about Santa. I think about the Christmas tree. At our house, it'll be literally about 4:15 in the morning. Literally, 4:15 in the morning, our house will start stirring. That's what we think about when we think about Christmas. And I want to encourage you, as either children of God or those investigating the truths of God, to think far beyond that, to understand there is a problem associated with the gift. Problem is, you need to receive it. We all do. There is a person, Jesus, and a provider, God the Father, associated with the gift. The power that comes with it is through the Holy Spirit who will come and live inside you for the purpose of empowering you to serve others, to take the divine gifting that He gives you, the passion, the fire in your belly to make a difference. He'll share that with you. And it will bring a great peace. Many of you right now would say to me, if you were honest, Jeff, if I could have one thing this year, if God would grant me one gift, one wish, I would do anything for some peace. I would do anything for some peace. I want you to know there is more peace in this gift than you could ever use up. Promise from God Himself. If you'll become one of the people of the gift and accept the fact that as a person of the gift, you've been called to take the power that comes with the gift in you to make a difference in the lives of those close to you, within arm's length regionally, and if need be, to literally go to the other side of the world with the gift that you might give it to others. Tomorrow, from 3:30 to 6:30, we're going to share a portion of that gift, wrapping presents for Jesus. Next fall, we're going to go back to China, and we're going to share that gift. And between now and then and throughout the rest of the year, we're going to do things regionally. We're going to do all kinds of things to share the gift. Now, I want to warn you, it's going to get messy. It gets messy. That's part of the plan. And if it doesn't, you're not sharing it right. You hear me? If sharing the gift doesn't get messy, you're not sharing it right. I have had lunch three times in the last 3 weeks at No Place Bar. I've got to know some of the staff. They've had a change of ownership and management. I've gotten to know who God might be calling out. There are some people there who are receptive. They're willing to listen a little bit about the love of God. I also happen to have, I believe, the best hot wings on the island. But, sidebar. But you know what? No place is a messy place. It is. I pray that tomorrow, in front of Kmart, it'll get a little messy. I pray that everywhere we go, it gets a little messy. If it's not, we're probably preaching to the choir. If it doesn't get messy, and understand that messy comes in a lot of forms. Okay? Messy comes in the form of an intellectual argument from a scholar. Messy comes in the form of impoverishment. Messy comes in the form of hearing foul language. You know what? My ears are going to be just fine if I have to hear a little bit of garbage so that I can shed a little bit of light. If we're not willing to get messy, we're probably either hoarding the gift or we're focusing on the ornaments. Some people don't realize this, but I want to help you get a different perspective on Jesus. You think of Jesus, especially around Christmas, and you think of the little baby in the manger. You may put two and two together and see him on the cross and understand that the Christmas message, which starts at Christmas, ends at Easter, and therein gives us the fullness of the gift of God. Have you ever thought about Jesus as a missionary who was willing to get messy? Jesus was living in heaven, chose to leave heaven to come down here, knowing all the while that he was coming into a people who were not going to accept him by large part, knowing that he was going to come to a place where he would be slurred, where he would be beaten and bruised. Do you know that before he went to the cross, when he was whipped and beaten with a cat and nine tails, I don't want to gross you out too much, but I want you to understand something. That process would not have been considered complete until his flesh was in ribbons and his organs were exposed. Now, he knew that before he left home to come down for the sole purpose of taking all of the sins of the world and putting them upon himself so that, get this, so that he could do this. Would you please accept my loving gift of grace? I left home, came down here amongst you. I let them beat me to death for the sole purpose of extending to you this gift of grace, that you might accept the gift in its fullness and become a people of the gift, person of the gift, that you would embrace my plan. Let me show you how somebody else put that into perspective. Take a look at this.
And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and she laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. God had this messy plan, a plan to save the world. And to do that, he was going to send his son. Where does the God of the universe send his son? Where does the King of Kings and Lord of Lords come? To a barn, a stable, a manger, of all places. Certainly no place fit for a king. But then again, this wasn't any ordinary king. When I say it was messy, I mean messy. It was a barn, a stable, right? So you've got animals and animal stuff. Manure, mud, a pitiful place for people, much less a place for the King of Kings to be born. Why would God do that? Well, I can't tell you for sure, because Isaiah explains to us that His thoughts are not our thoughts, and His ways are not our ways. But that same prophet, 400 years before Jesus was born, said, "All we like sheep have gone astray, each of us to our own way, and that He has laid our iniquities on Him." You see, Jesus came to a messy place. Oh, yeah, a barn, a manger, that's messy. But He came to a messy world. Why? Because the shepherd was coming to take care of the sheep, to prepare a way for them to go home. That's what a shepherd does. He lives where the sheep are. He sleeps where they sleep. He eats where they eat. It got Jesus in trouble. Why did Jesus eat with sinners? Because that's what the shepherd does. An angel appeared to the shepherds in the field and said, "This will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger." A sign. You ever wondered what that sign was? A sign for what? Maybe a sign that Jesus is accessible to everyone. A sign that the God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills can relate to a homeless person. Because Jesus never had a home, never had a place to rest His head. Maybe it was a sign that God would have nothing to do with the social status of mankind. A sign that He detests the splendor of humans because it's not worthy of Him. But it was a sign for us that we should follow suit. In fact, the Apostle Paul later on would write, "We should have the same attitude as Christ Jesus, although He was the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but that He made Himself nothing, becoming a servant, being made in human likeness." A servant. You see, being a servant is messy. And Jesus set this incredible example for us. I mean, He got down on His knees and He washed feet. The God of the universe, the God who deserved the best of everything, got on His knees. He's the God who came to the world and was laid in a manger, a feed trough of all places. Why such a messy place? Because He was following a messy plan. So needless to say, that very first Christmas was dirty. It was grimy. It was filthy. But thank God it was, because without it, what a mess we'd be in.
Are you in a place where you can thank God for that first messy Christmas? Are you in a place where your focus is on the gift of Christmas? Or are you centered on the ornaments? To understand God's messy plan, to be a true people of the gift, it's to focus at Christmas on the opening of the gift. To open up the gift at Christmas, to unplug the ornaments. Now, I want you to know that how you look and your wrappings, no big deal. You see, sometimes the pendulum swings too far. Sometimes we become so focused on the gift that we don't feel like we can embrace any of the other stuff. You hear me say here at the Bridge that we want to be as creative and as flexible as a Chinese contortionist. Well, part of that means that you hold on to the things that are God's truth and you let go of some things that are not real issues. Here's how it works out you open up the gift and make sure that your focus is where it needs to be. That's the focus of the gift. It's Jesus. And if you need to put on a Santa's hat so that others around you would be willing to take a look at your Jesus, if you can cross the boundaries that so often get put up because of religion by putting on a Santa's hat, you put it on. You don't sing jingle bells in church. Yes, you do. So long as your focus is on the Christ of Christmas, so long as you don't water down God's truth. You know, I went to No Place Bar and I shared the love of Jesus. I didn't drink a beer. I didn't have a shot. I drank Diet Coke. But you know what? I sat at the bar. I have no problem sitting at the bar. Now, some people may think that you go across lines. I want to encourage you to use God's word as your standard. And where it says don't go, don't go. Where it says don't go, don't get close to the line. But where it's silent and God's principles will allow you to go, if you can penetrate darkness and you bring the fullness and the truth and the goodness of God's word, you do it. You see, to be a people of the gift is to understand the plan of the gift. Joey, if you would bring up the house lights, please. Joey, are you with me? One, two, three. Joey has left the building. All right. To understand what it means to be a people of the gift is to know that your call is to go and share the gift. You see, there's nothing in here, but it represents the fact that we're sharing the love and the truth and the joy of Jesus. I don't know that I could honestly say that I've accepted the gift if there isn't a part of me that is focused on the sharing of the gift. And the good news is, this gift never runs out. I want to ask you this Christmas, are you a people of the gift? Do you understand the plan of the gift? Santa hat or no Santa hat? Is your focus on the person, the power, and the provider of the gift? If not, you're selling yourself short this Christmas. There is so much more. So much more. And again, Jesus was the first missionary. He left heaven to come that you would know this truth, that you would be able to celebrate Christmas, to truly celebrate Christmas in all of its splendor. To understand that the meaning of life is to understand this gift, to accept this gift, and to share this gift. It truly is better to give than to receive. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning in the spirit of a Christmas message, and we want to say to you, thank you, thank you, thank you for the gift, capital G. Lord, we see the richness of your goodness, your mercy, and your grace in our understanding and in our accepting of this gift. Lord, I ask now that if there is anybody here and the Christmas tree of their life is barren and your gift does not sit underneath it, I pray that today will be the day that they will come and say, I want that gift. I need that gift. I will exchange all that I was to become all that you have for me in and through the gift of relationship with the one true living God. Lord, we are humble. We are thankful. And we are your children. I thank you for all of our gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.